It's WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlantis Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future.
Well, good morning and welcome to Money Matters here. It's Sunday morning. And it's kind of a wet and rainy day here, but we're still edging into fall. And we've got a lot to talk about. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning. Ryan Ealy, virtually producing. Today, if we've been talking a lot about dividends lately, as interest rates on bonds continue to be extraordinarily low, we're finding income. Where are we finding income? We're finding income from stocks that pay dividends. And we've found out here on the show, we've continued to talk about this the last couple of weeks, that the power of rising dividends is perhaps maybe it's our best way to protect our purchasing power as investors. And really, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to have a retirement where our income goes up at the speed of or faster than the speed of everything else called inflation. So if we have the cost of milk, which is my example in my home because I have four growing boys. One of them right now is on a milk kick. They're almost like different milk cylinders. Yeah, they got four of them. Maybe one or two is on the milk train. Maybe then they'll get off after a month or two and the next one will do it. Lynn the other day was saying, Jake, we need to get a cow for you. You need so much milk. And it's probably true. We need some sort of, we need a dairy farm at the Moss House. But think about milk that used to be sub a dollar, and then it went to $2. Now it's $4 or $5, depending on how organic you get and how much antibiotic free you get the milk. But milk is more expensive than fuel these days. And that's pretty simple. That's inflation. And we all feel inflation in different parts of our lives. You may feel it in housing. You may feel it in medicine, certainly the cost of healthcare, or you get to see it in food. It shows up everywhere. And we are trying as investors to be able to have our money, something in the portfolio, keep up with that rising cost of inflation. And we've seen historically, whether you look 30 years, 50 years, 80 years, there's really nothing like the power of rising dividends from equities that outpaces that rate of inflation. The example that I've been giving the last couple of weeks, and there's an article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution today about the power of rising dividends, perhaps the most important topic we've talked about in a decade here on Money Matters. We spent a lot of time on the interesting moments of today, which are fascinating and, quite frankly, too interesting not to talk about, like what markets do in this president versus this party versus that party. But really, if you cut through all of that entertaining material that we're going to continue to talk about, what really works or matters for investors is this power of rising dividends over time. And that is, of course, will continue to be a topic here on the show. Today, the nuanced topic here is that if dividends are the unsung hero, then rebalancing. I mean, again, couldn't be a more boring topic. What? You're going to turn off the radio. What? Rebalancing may be the most underrated player on the field. And we're not going to talk just about the mechanics of sell this, buy that. We're talking about the fundamental thought of shaving off or selling what's done really, really well and buying what is perhaps done or lagged behind. And that's this whole concept of rebalancing. It's not just this boring, systematic sell X percentage and buy X percentage. It's the thought of being able to counter the human condition that says, oh, I want to buy what's already done the best. I want to get rid of what's done the worst. In investing, that is the way that our minds or our psyches, for the most part, are wired. Oh, well, let's just go buy what's done well. How many times have you looked at your 401k choices and gone down the list and there's the 1 and the 3 and the 5 and the 10 and you look at it and you go, oh, this one is up 13% over time. This one's only up 11. Let's buy the 13. That's done the best. It'll keep doing the best. Inherently, we think, oh, let's just go get the, let's go figure out what did the best as investors. It's very different when we're shopping. Right? If we're shopping, we're thinking about, oh, I buy that Tide every day or every week or every month, or that milk every, in the case of our family, every day, some sort of cow. Some milk from a guy. every day. So we go in and we see what milk, what the box of Tide is normally $10. Today it's $7.99. Well, we want to buy maybe two boxes that day. Yay, it's on sale. But it's the opposite with stocks. Our stocks are, my $10 stock explodes to $15. Let's get more of it. And that's just this, but that's the opposite we needed to invest in. So every time we're price shopping, we want lower, 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 except for the human emotion drives us towards what's done the best or more expensive in markets. And rebalancing, maybe the most underrated player on the field, is this process of understanding that we don't necessarily want to continue to buy or chase what's already done the best. We want to be buying things that may revert to the mean. And reversion to the mean doesn't just mean coming back down to earth, but it also means coming up and perhaps playing catch up to some of the asset classes or stocks or stock areas, whatever you want to call it, that maybe haven't done as well or lag behind. And that game of catch up can be very rewarding. And it's fundamentally all wrapped up into this concept of, hey, rebalancing, which is broader than just, hey, I'm going to systematically sell this and buy that every 6 months or every year. It's the concept of not necessarily chasing or adding to what's already done the best. So dividends, unsung hero, then rebalancing, most underrated player on the field. Also important is to remember that even though we are still stuck in this COVID quicksand economy, which is still not back to the real world, my analogy is been six-cylinder engine here in the United States. We're operating, call it five cylinders. Now, some areas, particularly in the southeast of the state of Georgia that opened up, reopened early, you really couldn't, you almost can't even tell. If you were to land here from outer space and spend an hour in the city or in the sky, the WSB Skycopter, and you're looking at traffic, it doesn't look like anything's going on here that's any different than a boom, boom, boom economy. Six cylinders, all six turned on and revving. It's just not like that everywhere in the country. There are places in the country, a lot of areas around the United States that are still just getting up and running, and they're still teetering on the edge of going the other direction of shutdowns. New York City, perfect example. California, these are giant economies. So when you have the largest or among the largest chunks of the economy that are still just not fully immersed in activity again, then the economy as a whole isn't back to six cylinders revving all the time. And that's still where we are today. We know, and we've talked about this many times here on the show, we're not going to get the full cylinders revving and going until we get a medical therapeutic that breaks through and people are no longer worried to go back to their normal business of festivals and rock concerts. Those things, and travel and cruises and airplane. Until airlines are back to 90% full, this economy's not back to 100% capacity. And that is this thought. And of course, we need we need, even though a huge chunk of the population, those who are 20 and younger, they're not worried about COVID, but there's still a ton of, there are still millions of Americans that are very nervous about COVID, and they're still not back to normal. You talk to a friend of mine's, two kids are at Georgia, and I asked them about, hey, did they get COVID? Said, of course they've got COVID. Yeah, they all got COVID. They all got COVID. They all have had it and done and back to normal, and they're revving. Well, there's still a huge portion of the population that isn't quite comfortable to do that yet. And that is the tail of this economy that won't get back to normal until we have this medical, either vaccine that's widely distributed, or a therapeutic that's widely available. Now, we saw some hints of that. We know that we have news coming very soon. We assume from all the trials and all the hints and the foreshadowing that we'll be good on the vaccines. We just saw perhaps the largest, most high-profile clinical trial of a drug in the history of the universe. What was that? It was Regeneron's monoclonal antibody cocktail. I guess it was called polyclonal because it was more than one. On the president of the United States, still in experimental mode in the hospital. Walter Reed, he walks out, and a couple days later, he's ready to go. Pretty high profile. If that hadn't gone well, can you imagine? Can you imagine the thought of trying? But it did go well. And it's still to be determined if that's what helped. Maybe the president in his early to mid 70s would have been fine no matter what. We don't know. We'll never know. He may have been able to just shake COVID at his age without that. We'll never know. Right. A neighbor of mine who is in her, both of them in their 70s, just, and she just told me this the other day. She said, Wes, I have COVID. I had COVID and I had every single comorbidity you can think of. I'm older. I got diabetes. I got overweight. I'm all the things. I've got all the comorbidities and I was fine. So we don't know how, and that's the riddle of this virus. That's what makes this so complicated, is that you may have 90 people out of 100 that are relatively fine and unshaken. Then you've got another 5, maybe 10% that are pretty darn sick. And I'm sure most of us know people that have been in that case. And of course, then we have mortalities. And you say, wow, then it's so it still feels to some extent like there's this shark lurking in the water. Probably be fine, probably totally fine. But wait a minute, what if it gets my ankle and pulls me in? And that's still why we're not back to fully normal in this economy. But we will be largely as soon as we get that medical breakthrough. Now, the point I bring that up is that there are certain stock sectors that continue to have this COVID economy as a tailwind. So if we're still shut in and we still don't travel and we still want to meet, we have to use all the technological advances that we've seen, by the way, years of advances in months, years in months. Those companies are thriving and still have this massive tailwind. And they're still the companies that are not back to normal. Think about cruise lines and airlines are the low-hanging fruit. Those are the obvious ones. But there's still a lot of other areas of the economy that aren't back, companies in the market that still haven't performed all that well because we are still in the COVID quicksand. And the market looks at this, and it's hard for the market to fully foreshadow us being out of that. But the ingredients that make the COVID world perfect for a company like a Zoom or a Clorox, and I'm not advocating the stocks here, I'm talking about examples of video technology and clean wipes, if you will, is not going to last forever. And there are lots of companies, let's say, as an example, the oil sector, the energy sector, that have been decimated because of lack of demand. Again, not here in Atlanta. Cars full of the freeways are full, but not around the country yet. Question is, will that last forever? The answer is, let's go back to rebalancing. Probably not. The sectors that look amazingly well-positioned, that tailwind, I think, will subside. And the headwind for the sectors that haven't been in the current of COVID to the positive will eventually get there. And that's this concept of coming back to normalcy and this concept of rebalancing. And it means something for how you invest your portfolio in your 401k. So good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. We're going to run a quick weather traffic. Then we're going to come back right here for more Money Matters. I've got a note on my Instagram, by the way. I've been hacked. And I've got to talk about that as soon as we get back. Stay tuned. So, social media alert. I know that on the mornings with Eric Von Hessler, he doesn't even do social media. He can get away with it. He's the biggest radio show in the country, the morning show. Their ratings are absolutely through the roof. Maybe he doesn't even need social media. But, you know, like I'm on Sundays, so I got to do something. And not all social media has been terrible. As soon as I was going to give up on social media, I started getting retweets. And this had to do with the Biden tax article that I wrote in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that caused a stir. I got a retweet from Newt Gingrich on it, and I was pretty excited about that. And then yesterday, even way cooler than that, Travis Tritt, TT, retweets about Biden taxes in the LADJC. So thank you. I'm a big Travis Tritt fan either way. But here's the deal on Instagram. So forget Twitter for a minute. Instagram, I don't even do a ton. I just post pictures of like my kids and my dogs. It's not the most compelling Instagram of all time, but it's just my normal family stuff. And somebody did one of these clone accounts where they have the name that's real similar to your name. And then a bunch of my real friends, I guess, followed it. And then their DM, this person is messaging them. And it's the conversation is actually somewhat funny. A lot of people have sent me with the conversation. But my buddy, Sage Ridgely, who is of Sage Gardens in Atlanta, one of Atlanta's premier landscaping companies, he just texted me about this. And I guess they're just block the guy, whoever. So my real Instagram is Wes Moss Money Matters. That's my real one. And anything but that, like Wes Mo Money Matters or W Money Matters, they're all fake. My real one is just Wes Moss Money Matters. Anything else is not. And just if you do see one of these fake ones, just report it. And we'll move on in the world of social media. When we get back, though, here we go. We got to do this thought of rebalancing and how important it is. It's the most underrated player in the field and perhaps on your investments. And we're going to get to that in the bottom of the half hour. Stay tuned. Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. It's Sunday morning. I'm your host, Wes Moss. We're here till 10 o'clock today because we have Bulldog Brunch coming up. That's just the way it is. It's a little shorter in the fall. And so we just get right to it. Actually, a good week, though, for markets up 3.8% for the S&P 500, over 3% for the Dow, the NASDAQ, just up 4.5%. But really the topic here today goes back to this thought of, and we spent a lot of time in the last couple of weeks about dividends and the power of dividend growth that has really done twice what inflation has done. So if you think about the cost of everything in the world going up on average by about 3% per year over history, or let's call it the last 80 years, 50 years, 30 years, 50 years, 80 years, 100 years, what pace of growth has been able to best that? Well, one area, again, I'm biased towards this area, dividend growing. Stocks pay dividends, but also grow those dividends. And we've seen markets, just in general, just the S&P 500. I'm not even talking about finding specific dividend growers here, which arguably could be even better, but I'm just talking about the general market, the power of the great companies here in the United States of America that are able to increase their earnings. And when they do, they're able to, if they choose to, and there are call it hundreds of companies that do this. Not all of them are great companies, but hundreds of companies that do this. They can choose to return some of those profits back to you as in the form of cash dividends. Cash dividends, which, by the way, for the vast majority of Americans, is a much more tax efficient way to receive income than wage income. Much more for not everyone, but for most Americans, the tax rate you receive on dividends is a much more preferential rate relative to what you pay on ordinary income, on wage income. So there's a lot of reasons to like dividends. Perhaps the most important piece of the equation, though, is that they've grown at essentially double the speed historically of inflation. So if inflation's been about 3, the growth of dividends, just the growth of dividend income, has been at about 6. It's 2 times the rate over the course of history, year after year after year after year, over time. So we've talked about that, and there's an article in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution today in the Sunday edition that is all about the power of rising dividends. And I suggest to anyone that is maybe the most important topic we talk about, period, here on Money Matters. Maybe not the most interesting, maybe not the most salacious, like talking about taxes, Biden versus Trump, which gets everybody all riled up. What really matters, though, is this power of dividends, because that's what we're trying to get to here, is to be able to get to retirement and have plenty of money and have it last forever, get enough in retirement, and then it lasts for a 20, 30, 40-year retirement, and then have a legacy for your next generation. Okay. Now, dividends, though, let's say they're the unsung hero for investors. I've likened them to Rocky Balboa this year. They're going to make a comeback. But rebalancing, though, this concept of buying what is lower versus not buying what has not done the best and then selling what has perhaps done really, really well. Rebalancing is just the most underrated player we got on the field. I always do these Avenger analogies because, again, I've got 4 boys and that's we're going to be watching Avengers rather than Frozen, I guess. So my friends that have daughters are watching Frozen. We're watching Thor Ragnarok We're watching Iron Man. We're watching Black Panther, anything that's Avenger related. So for our Avengers listeners, I'm thinking that if you've got an assign an Avenger to rebalancing, it's probably like Hawkeye. Now, again, if you haven't don't know Avengers, you've got all these amazing superheroes like the Hulk and Thor that's got the power of the thunder gods in a hammer, right? I mean, he's a half god supposedly, and we're talking about superhuman stuff. Hawkeye is just like a normal guy that's really good at shooting arrows. So he's kind of like, he's an Avenger, but he's not like the first guy you're going to choose when you have an invasion from another world, right? So that's Hawkeye. He's not going to ever get his own movie. All he really does is shoot arrows, but he's not going to get the respect of Hulk or Thor. But without Hawkeye, without him, be part of the team, the Avengers may not win, right? They may get overtaken in these movies by Thanos, and who knows? But my point here is that right now, Fang, which is Facebook and Apple and Amazon and Alphabet and Netflix, Google, which is part of Alphabet, that group of the market that's done so well this year, and again, another week where the NASDAQ was up more than the rest of the market, those are the cool Avengers, right? If I had to assign an Avenger to the Fang stocks, that would be like Hulk and Thor and Tony Stark, Iron Man and Captain America. They all press all the love. They all get their own movies. Growth stocks to the moon. But the reality here is that we've got some of these unsung heroes that are still perhaps even more important, just to not forget. So right now, human emotion designed to really make not great decisions or bad decisions, to buy more of what's already doing great and less of what's already doing, less of what's not doing so well. That's exactly the opposite of what we're supposed to be doing. This week, Robert Sanders, who's our chief investment officer at our firm, brought up this staggering example of just how meteoric the rise has been for anything that is set or perfectly designed for the COVID world, which, by the way, we've talked about, won't last forever. And investors have almost forgotten anything that is not perfectly designed for this COVID world, which we know is temporary. Here's an example. Oil. Down during COVID. So less driving nationally. Again, not in Georgia right now, it doesn't seem like, but nationally, less demand for oil. Lower oil, lower, as if we have this thought that, so oil prices lower and oil companies absolutely punished, as if we're never going to see oil demand grow again. And Zoom, on the other hand, is an example perfectly suited for the COVID economy. Now, we've seen Zoom have a huge bump in sales, which makes total sense, up 355%. That's a lot. But the stock is up over 600%. 600%. So Zoom up, that makes sense. It makes sense that it would be up this year. I'm not sure 600 makes sense, 600%, but it makes sense. Exxon, on the other hand, is down about 50%. Now, maybe down makes sense, right? Makes sense. Less oil demand. However, here's what starts to look out of whack. Zoom, and this is just an example, everyone. I'm not saying buy or sell either of these. I'm just giving you a really good example of the current of COVID economy. Zoom is now the same size as Exxon. Same size companies. Both right around $140 billion. Now, ExxonMobil, is almost 150 years old. Originally started back in 1870, John D. Rockefeller. That's the whole story. Standard Oil eventually gets Exxon and then Mobil together. ExxonMobil is the energy company to the world that, by the way, fossil fuels still run over 80% of the power and the energy in the world. It's still derived from oil and gas and coal, fossil fuels. Zoom is about 9 years old. Zoom wasn't even started when my 10-year-old was alive. However, Zoom is the same value as Exxon. 2021, here, listen, here's your sales. 2021, Exxon estimated to do north of $210 billion in revenue in sales. $210 billion. That is a real company. How about Zoom? Now, remember, these are the same market cap, same size. They're both worth value $140 billion. Exxon sells over $200 billion worth of its product. Zoom's revenue next year estimated to be about $3 billion. $200 billion, $3 billion. Again, Zoom's a real company, real revenue. But does it seem right that it has the same value of Exxon that has, even though Zoom has 98% less sales? It has 98% less sales and revenue, 98%, and it's the same value. Now, again, should Zoom be up in 2020? Sure. Should Exxon be down in 2020? Sure. But do those two companies, should they be the same size? Does that seem like that'll last forever? So this is this idea of rebalancing. No one in their right mind would ever own Exxon, right, in 2020 over Zoom. Would you ever think about that? Not, no. Maybe not. Again, I'm not saying to sell all tech and buy all oil. What I'm saying is that maybe it's time to remember that rebalancing is the very tool that allows you to systematically do what we're supposed to do as investors, which is buy what's low and sell what's high, or at least a portion of that. Remember, our brain points to the exact opposite. So investors have to train themselves or at least put something in place to not ignore these divergences. If you're all tech and it maybe it's time to remember that the COVID economy tailwind, just it's not going to last forever. And if you think about the sectors that are perfectly suited, like disinfectants, I think of a company like a Clorox or video chat, like Zoom that we just talked about, and the tailwinds for boring things like fuel and energy, boring things. It's just energy that powers the world, 80%. When the tide does turn, though, and we return to a slightly more normal or 2019 version of the economy, and it'll never be the same. 2019, we've come years and months with technology. But when the tide does turn, I think that we see many of these forgotten and unloved areas of the marketplace sectors make a comeback. I mean, that's just my call for what it's worth. Dividend-paying companies... That's why I keep saying that they're the Rocky Balboa of our day. At some point, they make a comeback, I think. So rebalancing, that's this process of buying what's out of favor and selling at least some of what's in favor, is an immensely important tool. And we just don't want to forget it. So the reality here, though, is that, and I'll tell you this quick story before we run a break, is that we're walking, and this is perhaps why dividends don't get the power they don't get the credit they maybe deserve. I was walking, this is a couple weeks, let's call it over the past month or so, I'm walking my dogs. I'm walking my German Shepherd and my 90-pound lab, Cody, and Jake, who's my 8-year-old. And we're walking down some version of Peachtree. So many of them in Atlanta. There's Peachtree Circle, there's Peachtree. So we're on a walk where you got this spectacle of these dogs, Josie and Cody. They're always kind of pulling us. So as you can imagine, then I've got Jake here with me, and this is after a couple of days of cooped up in the rain, so they're extra wild. And Jake's with me, so it's you've got this the chaos of these two animals. Jake spots something shiny on the sidewalk. And we're going to run a break, and I'm going to continue the story when we come back. He spots something shiny on the sidewalk. And this relates back to our story about dividends. When Money Matters returns, you're listening to Money Matters. I'm your host. You can find me and the Money Matters team at wesmoss.com, WESMOSS.com. Stay tuned right here on 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk. What did Jake spot on the sidewalk? Well, we'll get to that in just a second. Just again, I promise you, if you're following me or I'm following you on Instagram, I'm not messaging you. I'm not messaging you. It's somebody that keeps setting up these fake accounts or Finsta accounts, and they take your pictures. So somebody's taking my photo, and they they make their names similar. So I'm Wes Moss Money Matters on Instagram, but they'll do like W Moss Money Matters or Wes Mo Money Matters. And then they put up your same pictures and then they're messaging folks when you follow them. So my regular, I promise you, I'm not messaging you on Instagram. I'm just, and it's been reported, and I've had a bunch of friends of mine just report the perpetrator, but my actual Instagram, where I've just got photos of like kids and dogs and things like that, is the actual one is Wes Moss Money Matters. So it's just WESMOSS Money Matters for the record. Anyway, so I'm telling this story about Jake and so we're walking down, so I'm walking the two dogs and Jake. So it's kind of a scene, and he spots something shiny on the sidewalk. What was it? It turns out it was the Sacagawea dollar coin, which, by the way, I didn't even really know what that was. Jake knew what it was immediately. I remember the Susan B. Anthony, where the $1 coin, but now it's mostly Sacagawea coins. And he goes, Dad, he was so excited about this. He was so psyched. He's like, Dad, this is like a treasure. And he's an excitable kid anyway. But lying next to the dollar, the Sacagawea dollar, was also just like a penny too. There was this, so you got the dollar and you got the penny. So he picks up the Sacagawea dollar and he just leaves the penny on the ground. I'm like, Jake, what about the penny, man? He goes, Dad, he goes, this is a dollar. He's like, the penny doesn't even buy me a piece of candy these days. It's just 1 cent. And it made me think about, and that's part of the reason I started writing about this lack of enthusiasm for dividends, perhaps because they're always priced in cents. Like J&J raised the dividend the other day, and they pay a pretty hefty dividend, and it was 6 cents. That's never going to make the headlines. Nobody ever cares about 1 penny. XYZ company raises dividend by 1 cent. Great. But if you start doing the math and you've got a company paying 57 cents and it raises 4 cents, again, big whoop, what's the big deal? 60 to 61 cents. Wait a minute, though. If you just do the math, it's a 7% dividend increase. What if they do that every year, year after year, year after year? Well, guess what? Most of the market has done that, or the dividend payers have done that. That's why it's outpaced inflation by near double. 6% dividend growth versus 3% inflation. And that's our story today here for Money Matters. Enjoy the rest of this wonderful day here. Stay tuned for more Money Matters, or stay tuned for the best programming on the planet right here, 95.5 WSB, Atlanta's News and Talk.